Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Chief Chris Noller. So thanks so much for being back on the show, Chief. Appreciate it. Love you having you here. And also Lieutenant Randy Sutton from the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, all the way out in Las Vegas. So thank you, gentlemen. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors as well. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring the show to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yeah, we're streaming over 1 million followers right now during the live show. And then finally, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. If you go to our website, upper right-hand corner, check out that online store, and you can get cool gear like we've got shirts and hats. I got the coffee mug behind me. And if you want the shirt that I'm wearing, you're going to have to go to thewoundedblue.org to get this thing. And I'm assuming, Randy, you still have these shirts. You still got them?
Nope. We changed the design. It's much cooler.
New and improved. Okay. Much cooler. Okay. All right. Well, I love it. So I only buy Randy's shirts because they make my arms look bigger than what they really are. You know, it's just an optical illusion, you know, so that's why that's the way I roll. Hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content. Brian, also Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com and our own Travis Shates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we got a great lineup. So we got a main story, and the California Attorney General, Rob Bonta, rushes to court to stop a sheriff, Bianco. He is counting ballots in Riverside, and they don't want that to happen. There's a backstory. We're going to cover that. I can't wait to get to that. Then we have the feds are moving in to dismiss charges against officers accused of falsifying a warrant in the Breonna Taylor raid. We're going to be covering that. We've got a couple video stories next. Suspect fatally shot by Coolidge police officers when he charges at them with a machete. That was the weapon of choice in that one. And then we got NYPD. Body cam shows officers shooting a mentally ill Queens man that's charging at them with a knife. And then Colorado lawmakers reject a bill that would have required police to intervene when ICE agents used excessive force. Kind of subjective, I guess, but that would obviously pit them against, you know, law enforcement agencies or entities against each other. And we got Jacksonville police officers fatally shooting a domestic disturbance suspect when he pulls out a gun. And then finally, Greenville Sheriff's Office determined a deadly deputy shooting of a knife-wounding suspect was justified. So those are the stories. So if you guys are okay with, let's start off with the first main topic. It's at rvmnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. So the California Attorney General, Rob Bonta, and is it Bonta? Is that how you pronounce it, Randy? I mean, you live pretty close.
I think it's Bonta.
Bonta? Okay. Bonta, of course, I don't really care if I mispronounce his name or not, but he's rushing the court to stop the sheriff Bianco. He's doing a ballot counting in Riverside, and there's some huge concerns. So Riverside County Sheriff's Department, the sheriff, of course, is Chad Bianco, and he's criticizing the AG for the state of California, and this is Rob Bonta. And the state filed an emergency writ, and they're trying to stop the sheriff from counting the ballots that are tied to a local investigation that he's doing into the November 2025 special election. So the sheriff thinks that he's on to something, and he's running for re-election too. So the AG is running for governor, actually. And he said that the move comes as his office investigates what he described as discrepancy between the number of ballots cast and the number of votes reported in Riverside County, the two different figures. So, and here's a quote from the sheriff saying, well, I guess this is from the AG saying, hey, hello, California Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco and your next governor. Well, the political corruption in California just gets bigger and bigger. Our embarrassment to law enforcement, Attorney General Rob Bonta, just filed an emergency writ with the Court of Appeals to stop ballots from being counted in Riverside County. And so that's what he said. And according to the sheriff, the investigation centers on an alleged difference of approximately 45,000 votes. And it gets better. For those not aware, this is another quote. We are conducting an investigation into an alleged and potential 45,000 extra votes counted than the number of ballots that were actually cast in November 2025 in the election. And he goes on to say that the review is focused solely on reconciling totals, not analyzing how votes were cast. And they kind of continue saying, just so that we're all clear, This is not about counting yes or no votes. This is simply counting the total ballots and comparing that total with the number of votes that were reported by the Dominion voting machines. Yeah, that name is back. Plain and simple common sense. He also noted that a Superior Court judge actually authorized what he's doing. And not only did a Superior Court judge approve a warrant to obtain the ballots, he also issued a separate order to count them. So the sheriff sounds like he's got his ducks in a row. He questioned the attorney general's decision to intervene and suggested that that move could be intended to prevent the findings from becoming public. And he said, why in the world would AG Rob Bonta want to stop the count unless he's afraid of what the count would uncover? He further raised concerns about how the case would be handled by the appellate court. We have an extremely politically biased appeals court, so this is going to be interesting, according to the sheriff. And goes on to say that he framed the dispute as a broader issue of transparency and public trust in elections, saying that voters should be paying close attention to how the situation unfolds. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, you know what, Bonta... He clearly doesn't want the truth to come out, and to take a stance like this, I think is so transparently clear about what his motivations are. Why? But this is a Democratic thing. Clearly, I mean, it seems like on every time that there is a move to look at election integrity, It seems to set off fireworks within the Democratic Party. I don't understand why everyone would not want election integrity. And yet you see this play out and play out and play out time after time. And of course, you know, let's be real here. The chokehold that the Democratic Party has on the state of California, which is without a shadow of a doubt one of the most screwed up states in the union, is part and parcel of what is taking place all throughout the state.
Thanks, Randy. Chief Noller.
Well, I just echo what Randy's saying. I mean, you know, you look at the bill that they're trying to push forward at the federal level to show your citizenship to vote. 90% of Americans think that that's what should happen, and there's this big fight over it. It's interesting to see, without getting too political, how something as simple as election integrity is as controversial with some as it seems to be. And I think there's I think Randy hit it on the head. I think there's an ulterior motive for that.
Yeah, I mean, you see, they call it the 80-20 issue, or one of them, and yeah, you're right. It makes absolutely no sense if you're a good guy.
So if elected officials are supposed to follow the will of the people, right? Isn't that the basis of
that's a little controversial
system?
Statement, Randy.
I thought so, but I'm not sure they teach that in civics anymore.
Oh. Wow. You know,
it's frightening.
Ethics and morals, you know.
It's called a representative republic for a reason.
Yeah. Fiduciary responsibilities, you know, all these terms there's an education problem here. We need some remedial training for some of our politicians. So I am with you. Well, guys, on that note, if you're ready to go down the rabbit hole with me to another one here, I don't usually use the AP Newswire. Place One does, of course, with just about every story, but APnews.com, the feds moved to dismiss charges against officers that were accused of falsifying a warrant in the Breonna Taylor raid. And I just want to get this out there and cover it. We have covered Breonna Taylor until, you know, we're blue in the face. So Louisville, Kentucky, federal prosecutors, now federal, mind you, they asked a judge on Friday to dismiss the charges against two Louisville Metro police officers that were accused of falsifying the warrant that led police to raid Breonna Taylor's apartment on the night that she was killed. And that was 6 years ago. It goes on to say that these prosecutors, these feds, they said in the court filing that their review of the case showed the charges against former, these guys no longer work with the agency, Detective Joshua James and Sergeant Kyle Meany, that they should be dismissed in the interest of justice. And they said it's unclear when the judge might issue a ruling on the request. A hearing is scheduled for April the 3rd coming up. The judges have twice reduced felony charges against each officer down to misdemeanors, saying that there was not a direct link between the false information in the warrant and the death of Breonna Taylor. And prosecutors said that after that second ruling from judges, they decided to go ahead and just drop the cases, which I'm just thinking, they're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and they just don't want to, go down that rabbit hole. What do you think, Chief Noller?
I have to admit, I don't know a whole lot about the facts. I mean, I know what ha I understand what happened in that case, but I don't know the facts that led to them reducing the charges to begin with. But I clearly there's an issue with the case, and the evidence that they're trying to bring forward, or they wouldn't be trying to dismiss these charges. I don't know if Randy has a deeper understanding of what happened, but that's the only reason I've ever seen attorneys do that. It calls into account. I mean, I think all of us want to be held accountable if we do something wrong. I think law enforcement should be held accountable, but it makes you wonder whether that was really the right move in this case or not, from an outside perspective. So,
Yeah. And
politics, politics, politics. That's all this was about. And I do have some information about this. I've been following this case very closely. In fact, we're going to be reporting on this on our new channel that we are about to launch, called True Blue News, the voice of American law enforcement. Betsy Brantner Smith and I are going to be creating an entirely news no, new no let me try it again. A new
A news
news
network.
program. Jesus,
I love
I better learn how to speak before I start
it.
creating a new channel. This case was a political mess from the very beginning.
Well, hold that thought, Randy. We're going to take our first commercial break. Guys, we will be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we are joined by Chief Chris Noller and Lieutenant Randy Sutton. And we left off talking about the feds moving in to dismiss charges against the officers accused of falsifying a warrant in the Breonna Taylor raid. And I know that Randy Sutton's got some more information on that. So, Lieutenant Randy, the floor is yours.
So this was a politically tainted investigation. From the very, very beginning. Remember, we have to travel back into time during the insanity of the George Floyd madness. And this fell right on the coattails of that. And total irrationality took place, and a political environment that was extremely anti-law enforcement. They were looking for scapegoats. They remember this, that Breonna Taylor was not an innocent player in this. She was fully aware that her boyfriend, who she was living with, was a major drug dealer. And the reality is that when police came knocking on the door, and they actually had the ability to do a no-knock warrant, they didn't take advantage of that. And actually, I think that's probably what led to this. They did knock, they did announce, and that gave the suspect the opportunity to arm himself and shoot through the door and hit a police officer who was severely injured. And yet somehow when they returned fire, they hit Breonna Taylor, who was standing right next to him. That's the long and short of it. This all fell on the suspect, but yet they made him sound like he was Mr. Innocent. He's a dope dealer. He's the one that shot the police officer. And yet they turned this entire thing around to make it look like the police were out of control. In fact, there's a cop sitting in prison right now who fired after shots were fired from inside the apartment. He fired into the apartment. I got to say, bad judgment on his part, because he didn't have a target, but
line of sight.
Somehow they put him in prison for it. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. So I'm happy to see that there now is going to be a different reckoning for this, but still injustice has been done. Lives have been ruined. Careers have been destroyed. And the scumbag who did the firing got millions of dollars. It is absolutely an outrage what took place here.
What was the issue with the falsification or the allegations of falsifying the warrant?
So this was an investigation that was not directed only at the suspect that was involved in this shooting. There were multiple locations that they were hitting at the same time. So you know that's a confusing issue to begin with, right? When you're hitting multiple locations. And so when they were doing the search warrants, there was I saw what the affidavits this was because there were multiple locations. There was mention of one location and then a different location, so it was confusing. But there was no apparent intent to do any falsification. But it was because of this was a confusing multi-location series of search warrants, and so they were bringing in all the detectives that were assigned to different aspects of the investigation. So I don't believe that there was any intent here. But there was some confusion into the different locations, which resulted in. But there was probable cause. Let me put it that way. There was probable cause to go into this apartment.
So there was an error, not a falsification.
Correct.
All right, that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you're ready, let's. We got 3 minutes before our next break. Let's go down. I think we've got a story with a video that we're holding on to. So, and I can take these out of order. This is the one involving Coolidge Police. But at Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Suspect fatally shot by Coolidge police officers when he charges at them with a machete. Okay.
No.
Sir, put it down. Put it down. Put it down. 998-998-998.
So this is how they roll, Randy, in Coolidge, Arizona. So the shooting happened on February the 5th, 7:45 in the evening in Coolidge. So this video hasn't been around long. It's freshly obtained. It starts with surveillance of the suspect, Francisco Canales Aguilar, and he's leaving his home with what appears to be a machete. Now, Coolidge cops, they say that this guy, he called a family member around this time and he says goodbye to them. And then Aguilar drives up to an officer as he's speaking with a woman parked on the side of the road. The woman talking with the cop and Aguilar, they were in the process of a divorce. And the officer and the woman were outside of the vehicle when Aguilar aggressively approaches the officer with the machete. So we got body cam that we're looking at now. It shows Aguilar, a bad guy, wielding what appears to be the machete. And as he's walking towards the officer shouts three commands for this dude to drop the weapon. He ignores commands, continues to approach the officer, got the machete in his hand. After the third command, suspect's non-compliant. Officer fires four shots at the suspect. And then Aguilar, he goes down on the ground. Officer secures the weapon, and our bad guy's later pronounced dead at the scene. So officer was a decent shot. And I'm just kind of looking at my show notes here. There is a cool slow motion that starts about 38 seconds into the video. But what do you guys think about that one? And Chief, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think this, and I've said this a couple times on this show, if people would just listen to what our officers tell them, all of this could be avoided. I don't care what shooting you're talking about, or what use of force you're talking about. If you just did what the officer said, it could all be avoided. It just comes down to that. And we've created a society where somehow you don't have to listen to the police, which is causing a lot of these issues that we have. So, I mean, you know, you attack the officer. I think obviously this looks like a suicide by cop kind of a deal, where the guy had intentions of doing this, and that's why he had called his family members ahead of time, and and said goodbye. It's just unfortunate that these officers have to deal with the outcome of those type of events.
Yeah. Agreed. Randy, any insight on this one?
Well, you know what? We are seeing more and more suicides by cops. This is happening all over the United States. And I mean, we have another one. We have another piece of video coming up where it's almost identical. And they're always using edged weapons.
I agree. Well, hold the thought, guys. Another commercial break. We'll be right back to that story when we come back to the radio. Here we go. All right, gentlemen, time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing stat. I mean, they've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. When it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove Compliant Technologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, this ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Colorado and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas. And we've been talking about a suspect that was shot by Coolidge police officers when he charged at them with a machete. Guys, I can't remember who was talking with. I think Randy was talking with the commercial break. So any more words, Lieutenant Randy?
No, I think we can move on.
All right. Excellent. Well, if you guys are ready, then we'll move on to the next one that we've got with a video component as well. On this one, it's also rumble.com. This is Butters the Channel. We have NYPD. So we're in New York. Body cam video shows a cop shooting a mentally ill Queens man, charging him with a knife.
Baba, no!
Now, I got to say, when I hear about bad guys with, it doesn't matter, knife, machete, I automatically question their mental illness diagnosis is what I suspect. This is in Queens, New York, NYPD body cam. It shows this thing that went down on a Tuesday. The officer ended up opening fire and severely injured this mentally ill Queens man who was brandishing a kitchen knife and advancing towards the officer. So he did not kill him. So Officer Tyree White and his partner, they enter a home of Jabez Chiragmati, and this is in a place called Briarwood, and it's on January the 26th. After the family complained that our bad guy, 22 years old, had hurled a glass inside the house at around 10:30 in the morning. So after being greeted by a woman at the home, the video shows White, and this is the officer, Officer White, passing through a glass-paned door that separated the entryway from like the living room. And the fact that it's a glass, it reminds me of like a French door with all those individual glass panels in it. And this bad guy, he sees the officer, he immediately grabs a knife that's in the kitchen, and then he starts moving towards the officer. And the female complainant, she's trying to keep him away from the cop. This dude's moving towards the cop. Cop backs up through that little entryway, and he closes the door. So now you just got this glass door, just a bunch of glass panels. I mean, it might as well be nothing there, right? And the guy's coming through the door at the cop. So the woman tries to hold him back, and he brushes her to the side, advances towards the cop, still got the knife. And so anyhow, the glass panel door, and the cop ends up shooting the guy through the door because he doesn't drop the weapon. And because he's turning the door handle, trying to get through and everything. So there's two cops here. There's another cop there just to the left that's kind of like out of the frame. And so the bad guy collapses onto the couch, groans in pain, and the officer continues to yell at him to drop the knife. And this goes on for like about a minute. So after the shooting, the officers provide first aid, because that's what we do. They use a tourniquet, save the bad guy's life, stop the bleeding, and he ends up going to the hospital in critical but in stable condition. So that's how NYPD rolls. Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
It shows you how quickly these situations escalate. Cops are going to calls like this every single day, multiple times a day throughout America. And these situations can bounce from being calm to going to, the high speed life and death decision making in seconds. Now, one of the things that I found interesting was that, of course, the female inserted herself and tried to keep, the suspect from approaching the police. I was concerned that he was going to stab her. My thought process was, do you shoot him instantaneously because she has now put herself into a position where her life is in danger? But of course, life and death decisions are taking place within seconds. And in this particular case, the officers backed out, but she was in a position of extreme danger during this thing. So, you got to make these decisions. And the officer, I understand why he did what he did. He tried to create distance, which is what we're trained to do. And once again, edged weapon. These people that are using, they're bringing a knife to a gunfight. And the reality is you're never going to wind up on the good side of that fight.
Right.
Chief?
Well, I think all of those are great points. The other thing I think it shows is, this, like in several incidences, critical incidences around the country over the last years, the mental health of the person that causes these issues is come into play, and the officer should have done this or that because this guy's mentally ill and whatnot. And it just shows you that how quickly that evolves and what other choices did those officers have in that short time span in order to try to de-escalate the situation. None really is the answer. And so trying to figure out the mental state of somebody that's causing these reactions by the officers, because that's what they are. The officers aren't causing these confrontations. They're reacting to them. In case after case throughout the, especially the last couple of years, the outcry about how the officer shot a mentally ill person who was acting out. Well, this is why you don't have the time to sit down and put him on a couch and have a conversation with them and ask him why his mom didn't love him in order to get them to stop acting this way. You have to react to what they're doing. I thought it was, agree with Randy at the concern about the female in there, but using that door to try to create some distance or some time was a good attempt, I think, by those officers to maybe not have to shoot this guy. I think what happened after they shot him, though, where they immediately went to rendering aid, shows what our officers go through. They don't want to shoot people. They will if they have to, but they care. We care about the people that we serve. And to go,
I thought you were going to say shoot.
No, well, that too. But to go from an incident where you're 1 second you're protecting yourself from being stabbed to the next minute trying to help the same individual that could have killed you, it just shows the quality of the police officers across the country and what they do for the people that we serve. And I just don't think that people I don't think that some people give them enough a credit for what they do in these situations.
You're right. So, a lot of people couldn't do that. I got people that approach me all the time and say, I can never become a cop. They can't turn it off like that, on and off, and we have to be able to. Randy?
So let's look at what's happening in New York right now. Mondami, the anti-law enforcement, anti-public safety mayor, who is communist. Is put people into positions of authority in his cabinet that have absolutely zero common sense when it comes down to law enforcement. So they are creating this new unit that will respond to mental health crises, right? Can you imagine what would have happened if one of these mental health, I forget what they call them, they always come up with different weird names. If they had responded to this, Everybody's getting stabbed. They're getting stabbed. And anybody that takes that job is crazy, because their lives are in extreme danger, and it's only a matter of time before one of them gets shot, stabbed, beaten to within an inch of their life because of the political insanity that is infected not just New York but other agencies as well, who fall into this, we have to have an alternative to mental health crisis. Listen, cops don't want to even go on these calls, right? So you want to send in a social worker? Have at it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, look, we've got an article that's kind of close to Chief Chris Noller, who's in Pueblo. We're going to jump to Colorado real quick here and see what's going on. So the ColoradoSun.com, Colorado lawmakers reject a bill that would have required police to intervene when ICE agents use excessive force. So Colorado lawmakers, they rejected this bill. And I've already explained what it would do, but the bill would have also prohibited state and local police officers from hiding their identities, subjected federal officers to state criminal and civil penalties, and it would have required police officers to attend training on immigration enforcement. Now, there are two Democrats, Rep. Chad Clifford of Centennial and Rep. Cecilia Epinoza of Denver, and they joined Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee to kill House Bill 1275. And that is after hours of testimony against it from police chiefs. Now, the original version of the bill, it was sponsored by Democrats. It was Rep. Meg Forlich of Inglewood and Yara Zokai of Fort Collins and Senator Mike Weissman of Aurora, and also Eamon Joda of Aurora. It would have prevented federal immigration agents from becoming certified police officers in Colorado. We've all kind of heard that little scheme, although that section was watered down before the communities voted late on that Tuesday. The bill is one of three in this session that was brought by Democrats attempting to regulate U.S. immigration and customs enforcement in the state in the wake of violence in the hands of federal immigration agents in Minnesota. So we got less than 30 seconds, so we're going to be going to the commercial break in a second, but if you don't mind, I'll have you take this first, Chief Noller, when we come back from a commercial break. But I'm curious to see what you have to say, because a lot of police chiefs politic in the state of Colorado against this. So commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as police officers, we deal with guns and we deal with ammo every day. But GunLearn.com, they do offer that degree. You can become a certified firearm specialist. And I got good news for you. Even if you've got the degree up to 5 years ago, you can now convert that in the college credits. They've actually partnered with a program. It's with Smarter Degree. And the certification as a firearm specialist, it will now give you college credits for that degree. And they are Smarter Degree. They are university partners. So whether you're pursuing a degree or simply looking to maximize the value of your education, the partnership, it kind of opens up a new pathway for you to academic recognition for your firearms training. And GunLearn.com, of course, is the first and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And the citations are from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy. And the training is approved by major forensic organizations, law enforcement agencies, firearm manufacturers, GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo, Colorado, and also Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department. And we left off talking about the Colorado lawmakers rejecting a bill that would have required police to intervene when ICE agents use excessive force. And I know it kind of whet the appetite a little bit, but I actually had finished the article and we had mostly Democrats that were pushing this, but we had a lot of police chiefs that went to bat to keep this from passing. Chief Chris Noller, what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I'm also the president of the Colorado Association of Chiefs of Police, and we lobbied really hard to get that bill overturned or dropped, and had a lot of great chiefs go up there and testify against it. It's problematic, and it's just another example of the legislation that our state legislature is pushing through that makes our jobs extremely more difficult. There's a lot of issues with this bill, and I can name a few of those things that we were mainly concerned about. But obviously, there's something called the Supremacy Clause which means that the federal government doesn't have to do what the states tell it to. So really what it puts us in is a position of we're supposed to go out and according to this law, take action if we see ICE agent use excessive force. Well, they have different use of force standards than we do. They have not only different use of force standards, but they use force differently than we do. Like in Colorado, the carotid chokehold is illegal. Now, that may not be the case for a federal agent. So now we put ourselves in a position of they use this hold. Is that excessive force? You know, and now if we don't take action, now our officers are both civilly and criminally liable and we're getting arrested. Another issue that brings up is, so one of the main issues I think we have problems with throughout the country with some of the enforcement and efforts with locals is the local departments not stepping in to try to keep the public back while the ICE agents do whatever it is that they're doing. You know, Minneapolis is an example of that, where they refuse to come in and deal with the situation, at least from a civil disorder standpoint. So if we would have done that in under this law, and somebody got hurt by the ICE agents, then we would, even if all we were doing was trying to keep a crowd back, we would also be civilly liable under that. So it just created a huge number of issues, not to mention the part about covering the faces. I mean, it may not be common knowledge, but in Colorado, the temperature in the winter drops below zero quite a bit. And you need to be able to cover your face if you're going to be standing out at an accident scene for an hour and a half directing traffic in 30 below zero weather. And this would have prevented our officers from doing that. We just went through this deal called COVID, where officers had to cover their faces everywhere they went. So now if we have some other pandemic that is causing danger or potential harm to our officers, now they're not allowed to wear a face mask in order to protect themselves. It just is another example of legislation that's pushed forward out of emotion with zero logic applied to it and zero concern about the down the road consequences from this legislation. You can make all the laws you want as the state of Colorado about what ICE agents have to do, and guess what? They have to obey zero of them, none, right. Not one. And I tell you what's going to happen is if you arrest an ICE agent and put them in the county jail, guess what's going to happen? They're going to come down and get that ICE agent out of the county jail, and they're going to take him out of the state, and you're never going to see that guy in Colorado again. So you're going to have zero impact. And really all you're doing is making the job of the law enforcement officers that much harder. And you're also making people in this state think, do I want to even be here anymore? Do I want to do this job in this state where every little thing I do, I have a chance of either losing my house or going to prison? And it's just another example of you know, I think personally, some of these individuals, defunding the police wasn't really popular. So let's just make being the police really unpopular, and then we won't have police. And that's the road we're going down. And it really makes me sick to think about the impact had this passed. And I'm thankful that some of our legislators used some common sense and saw the error of this bill and didn't pass it. But this is one of probably 30 bills that will be pushed through that will negatively impact our profession, our criminal justice system, accountability in the state of Colorado, and is another example of why people don't listen to cops. You know, we talked about it earlier with one of the videos you showed. If people just did what we asked them to do, we wouldn't be in this mess. If we were able to turn over criminal illegal immigrants to the federal agencies at the jail, none of this drama would have even gone down. But states pass laws where we're not allowed to cooperate. Sheriffs aren't allowed to tell the federal government that they have an immigrant who's broken the law in custody. So the only option for them is to go find them on the street, which causes all this extra drama for everybody. And makes it a lot harder and more dangerous for everybody involved for them to do their job.
Disappointing. Randy, words?
Can you say virtue signaling? Because that's what this is. This is the Democratic legislatures, not just in Colorado, but other places, demonstrating to their base, listen, we're going to do something about this heinous, you know, out of control ICE agency. And so they create these impossible laws that make zero sense. And so, you know, I wrote about this in my latest book, Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety. Go to Amazon, pick up this book, because this is, how did we get here? How did we get to this point where the law enforcement is being painted with the brush of every cop is supposedly racist, is using excessive force, and we're the bad guys. We're the bad guys. And this is part and parcel of why we are in a criminal justice crisis in America. And rarely are we even talking about the criminal justice crisis, where we're losing police officers who are retiring or resigning on a basis that we've never seen before. And then the ability to bring in new police officers has been diminished to the point where people are just saying, why would I do this? Listen, still cops aren't getting paid a whole lot of money, right? When it comes down to the realities. Why would you put yourself in a position where literally you could go to prison for simply doing your job? And this is, but the chief is right. The defunding part didn't work for him. So now they're going the back doors and making it impossible to police correctly and legitimately and effectively. And you're 100% right. That is the goal of these leftist politicians.
Yep.
Well said, Randy.
Well said, Randy.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think maybe I'm gonna run for state legislator in Colorado.
Hey. Please.
We'll back you, Randy.
In fact, Chief, I'm gonna come live with you so I can have residency.
All right, let's do it.
Be careful what you wish for. Well, guys, we got about a minute, and we're gonna be winding it down. So, I don't know if you've got.
I'd just like to say, Super Sailor, I don't know that I could do worse as the Bears head coach, but I don't know if you've seen me. I'm not sure I'm the guy for the strength and conditioning job.
that's Sergeant George, you know, weighing in on that. So, but no, thanks, guys. I do want to remind our viewers and listeners that we've launched this new, we've resurrected the leoaffairs.ch. It used to be a .com, now it's a .ch. So if you guys, we're trying to spread the word, especially to our Broward County in Florida, Miami. Those are the two heaviest boards, Miami Police and Broward County Sheriff's Office. And also FHP, Florida Highway Patrol, was pretty popular too. So we're adding the FHP board today. But spread the word, leoaffairs.ch, in case anybody wants to check that out. It lets you talk with anonymity, so there's no fear of repercussion. We do moderate it, but it lets you talk without having to worry about getting yourself in the grease. And especially if you're like Minneapolis and you've got problems with Mayor Jacob Frey, Chief O'Hara, or even Tim Walz, your governor, and they prevented you from doing what you want to do, and you want to talk about it with anonymity, without the fear of repercussion, we offer you that. And
I need to talk about the Wounded Blue.
Well, go ahead. You're on Wounded Blue time, so go ahead.
All right. So listen, the Wounded Blue has helped more than 17,000 police officers who have been injured either physically or emotionally and psychologically. We are asking for your help. We are asking for people to donate $9.11 a month to us. And if you do that, if you go onto our website, thewoundedblue.org, sign up for the $9.11 per month, you'll get a signed book by me. And here's the thing. When people need help, they call 911. But when the police need help, they call the Wounded Blue. Go to thewoundedblue.org.
Pulse.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, on Medicare.life, safer recruiting, and Two Bells. We'll see you guys Monday, 12 noon Eastern.